Dexter is ready. Maybe we'll get one more in at the end. Let's see. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's see what we can do here tonight. Try not to keep you late. Did you ever hear a preacher say that?
Not lately.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, some of these guys that I get in here, boy, they just go, right? But not me, of course. I never go over time. All right, chapter 11, starting at verse 8. Chapter 11, of course, the great Hall of Faith chapter. And each one of these examples we get by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham tonight as well. All exercise faith in something that they cannot see. And I would say we should be able to sympathize that with them as well. For we believe in someone whom we've never seen. And we believe he's going to do something that's never been done before. And that is to call us all home to heaven. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's just take a look at those verses here today. Abraham's faith. By faith, he left his homeland for a place he never saw. God's word and promise were given to him, and he just trusted in it. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll see the faith of Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12. And just a few verses I want to show you in chapter 12. Verse 1, first of all, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Down verse 4. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I want you to note that Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He just took God at his word. God's word and promise were given to him, and he acted upon it by faith. His faith or substance caused him to obey. Obedience is a mark of true faith. Faith without works is what? Dead. Obedience to the word of God is what faith is all about. He followed by faith, or the evidence, or guarantee and assurance after what he had no sight of. And he just followed by faith. And faith, as we see back here in Hebrews chapter 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe in something that I've never seen, but I have the evidence and the assurance for it. Why? Because God told me. God has told me these things. So faith in what God is the substance of things hoped for, that Abraham did when he left the Ur of the Chaldees and went on to the promised land. He remained in a land promised to him and his seed, though at the time it belonged to someone else. Up there at verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, in dwelling in tabernacles or tents. That's what that has reference to. He never had a home on a foundation on this earth. All he ever lived in all his life, after God told him to go to a land, I'm going to give it to you for an everlasting possession, he never actually did anything more than just put tent pegs into the ground. And he lived on top of the ground in a tent.
while in his heart, verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he remained in the land of promise to him and his seed, though at the time it belonged to someone else. He accounted the land of promise as a strange country all the while he was in it, because he would wait upon God to give it to him. Here we are dwelling, aren't we? Don't we talk about, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below? Why? Because I've got a mansion up in glory. I'm looking for a city which hath foundation. I'm looking for a mansion up there in heaven. So while I live here on earth, I'm going to live like as if I'm living like Abraham did, in a tent. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a pilgrim. A pilgrim is someone who's going through a strange country unto another homeland. And I'm a pilgrim in this land. I don't know if you feel at home here. I don't. Do you feel at home here? I don't feel at home here. This is not my home. I'm looking for a better home, a better land. Our friend and brother in the Lord, John Dahl, passed away, I understand, on Thursday. I usually check all the obituaries, but I didn't look in the paper today for the obituary, so I missed it. You guys saw it and told me about it. You know, John Dahl wanted to get baptized. He kept asking me, well, you know what? We need to take care of that matter of getting baptized. Water baptism, that is, of course. And shortly after that, he took ill and had to go up to the Veterans Hospital. And that's where he remained. And that's where he left this earth to go to heaven without being water baptized. By the way, you think he's in heaven now because he didn't get baptized in water? Yes, he's in heaven. Do you have to be baptized in water in order to go to heaven? No. Should you be baptized after you get saved? Yeah. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, thank God the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin, and it redeems and pays the price. Baptism is just an outward picture, an outward testimony of what took place inside. I can remember talking to John, and I believe that he had an understanding, unlike he had before he came to Race Street Baptist Church. So we all had a part in him getting up to heaven, I am sure. And we'll be looking forward someday to seeing him up there in heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I know he may not have been everything he should have been. You know, it's amazing all the backgrounds people come from in order to get saved. I'm glad it's not all the same. I'm glad everybody doesn't come the same way. But you do have to come by the same cross, same blood. We're all saved by the same blood. Isn't that something? No matter how good you think you might have been before you were saved, it took the same amount of the blood of Christ to save you as it did to John Dahl or anybody else. Looking forward to seeing him up there in heaven. This world's not my home. This world was not John Dahl's home. I'm going to tell you one habit he no longer has. He doesn't smoke anymore. All right. Of course, that killed him. That killed him. I believe the cigarette people are going to have to give an account someday before the Lord for all the souls that they put out of light, out of breath, and are in hell because of early deaths and so forth. But he doesn't have that habit anymore. And it'll sure be good to see John without a cigarette in his hand. What a terrible habit. One of the most difficult habits to conquer. I thank God, though, we've seen individuals conquer it by faith and through prayer. Remember Jerry Goldner? Remember him? Boy, when he first got saved, he had to go out the front door in between Sunday school and church. And you know why? He had to have a smoke. But he tried his best not to smoke. He didn't smoke in church. But by prayer and supplication to the Lord, he was able to get the victory over that. And I don't think I've ever had an Amen Charlie like Jerry Goldner in our church since he's gone. He'd be sitting back there. Nick, he'd be sitting in your seat. That's where he'd be sitting. And he knew just when to say amen at the right times.
What was his sister's name, Cindy?
Yes. Looking forward to seeing him someday in heaven. Oh, what a gathering it's going to be. And we're going to see Abraham as well. And Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He accounted the land of promise as a strange country because he would wait upon God to give it to him. We await a better place and live as strangers until we get to that better place. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, just beyond Hebrews there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Look at the words of Peter here that we should take note of in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, well, that's me. That's you. Peter says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So what are we told to do? I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, people just walking through a barren land, looking for your homeland, which is in heaven, live as pilgrims and strangers. He would not build houses in a land which still belonged to the enemy. In other words, he lived in temporary quarters, awaiting the city with permanent foundations made by God. And we should treat this world as temporary and wait for a more permanent dwelling place as well. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. We were there this morning when we were looking at if our gospel be hid. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, that was actually 2 Corinthians, wasn't it? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. Look at this. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about his ministry and preaching and being considered fools for Christ's sake. Down to verse 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. No certain dwelling place. But you know what? I do have a dwelling place up in heaven. It's being prepared for me now, and it's certain. And that's the way Abraham looked at it. God told me to come here, and someday he's going to give this land to me. And until he does so, I'm just going to live in temporary quarters, like a pilgrim and a stranger in a strange land, until he gives it to me. We should treat this world the same way. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, for he looked for a city which hath foundation. He left his homeland for a land he never saw. He remained in a land promised him and his seed, though at the time it belonged to someone else. And in verses 11 and 12, he had a child by his wife who was past the age of childbearing. Well, you know, everything Abraham did throughout his whole life was simply by faith. He never actually got a chance while he lived here on earth to see the fulfillment of the promises. He lived his life out by faith in the promises God made, but did not all his whole life actually see it fulfilled. So then you know what? I believe he also believed in life after death. I know he did, and we're going to look at this next week because I won't get into it tonight. We'll be here for a long time. When he offered Isaac, that tells me he believed in life after death. But in verse 11 and verse 12, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, referring to Abraham. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Abraham had a child by his wife who was past the age of childbearing, I believe because he staggered not at the promise of God. Look back to Romans chapter 4. where it talks about the faith of Abraham here in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 19. Romans 4, verse 19. Talking about this same event of having a child through Sarah, past the age of childbearing. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That is the faith that Abraham had. He staggered not. And Christian, don't you stagger either. Don't worry about God keeping his word. He'll keep his word. And by the way, haven't you already experienced the blessing of his word when he said he would save your soul and give you a new life in Christ? How about the presence of the Holy Spirit inside your very being? You know that's real. And it wasn't there before you were saved, but it is there now. Well, then he's going to keep all the rest of the promises he made. So let's not stagger not at the promises of God. And Sarah herself judged God faithful. Now, I know when she heard the news that she was going to have a child, she laughed. And therefore, the name of the child was Isaac, which means laughter. But it says here, she judged him faithful as well. Can you just imagine her being so way past the age of childbearing, and here she is pregnant with a child for 9 months walking around on this earth? Imagine the people round about saying, Sarah, you're beginning to show. You know, that's what they say, you know. You're beginning to show. Yes, my God promised a son to my husband, and he's going to keep his word. And she gave birth to that child, named him Isaac, as a result of her laughter. And in closing, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And I think you ought to take God at his word and judge him faithful, just like Abraham and Sarah did. Don't stagger at the promises. In verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Stagger not. Just keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your hopes on a better land and a better country. By the way, don't put your hopes in this country. Don't put your hopes in this land or in the politicians or the politics. Put your hope in the Lord and in the Bible and all the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. How about in closing, can you think of any promises that God has made that we're still looking forward to? Maybe even some of the songs spoke of some of them that we sang here tonight. And I'll just have you shout them out here. Just raise your hand. What are some promises that God has made to us that we should stagger not at and just keep on trusting in? Sam and Bill.
Rapture.
The rapture. Bill.
Yeah, he's coming again.
Yeah. And we know he's coming again. He came the first time. And the angel said he's coming back. What else? What other promises? What has he promised you? Amen. Never leave you nor forsake you. Stagger not at that promise. You know, sometimes you might get in a situation you really wonder if anybody else knows what's going on. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. He'll carry you through. What else? Anything else? It's hard to think, isn't it?
All right.
Dave and Dave, then Sam. Dave?
Mansion,
a harp, and a crown. You've got that as a promise, huh? Amen. What? Just go get a chunk out of the street of gold. Yeah, I'm not going to chip away at the streets of gold. What for? I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. Sam, what else you got?
Sealed unto the day of redemption.
Sealed unto the day of redemption. You want to do Sunday school over again? Is that what you want to do? Sealed unto the day of redemption. What else? Jason.
The roses are never going to fade.
Marge?
It's peace that passeth understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's ours. That's a promise. Kathy?
No sorrow or crying in heaven.
Nope. No sorrow, no crying there. Bill?
Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
That's a promise. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I can't help when someone brings that up or when I'm preaching on it. I just can't help but think of Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate. I almost always, as a young person, whenever I read that story, I felt like God really didn't take care of Lazarus. Until I maybe grew up a little bit more in the Lord, matured a little bit more, and I began to think, but wait a minute. Who would you rather be with? The king? Or not the rich man? Or with Lazarus? I'll take my place with Lazarus any day. Even though the dogs licked his sores, I'll take my place with Lazarus. Because I know where he is today. He looked for a city, right? He looked for a better day. Meanwhile, he was a witness. All right, what else? Anybody else got it? Chris?
I have not seen nor heard what he has prepared for us.
That's a great promise. Looking forward to seeing some things we've never seen or heard about before. It'll take eternity to figure all that out, to get to know all that. What else? Anything else?
Our own mansion.
Say that again.
Our own mansion.
Our own mansion. Okay. I wonder what they're going to be like. I just dream about it. You know, I don't know if I want just one whole mansion just for myself. I mean, it'd probably be too big for me. And my wife and I will no longer be married in heaven like that anymore. I mean, that's kind of dissolved up there in heaven. Whoa, what will I do with that mansion, you know? I don't know. I'll worry about that when I get there, all right? Someone else had it. Jason, then Chris. Jason?
I like the promise that my sin is as far from the east as from the west.
You're not going to drag that along with you into heaven. Oh, I like that song. There can be no sin in my Father's house, right? No, no. It's going to be left behind. It's going to be left behind. Chris?
Perfect justice, retribution.
There'll be no bad judgment in there in heaven. Everything will be perfect. Marge?
Present at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Looking forward to that? Marriage supper of the Lamb. What great things we have in store for us. Sam?
We have glorified bodies.
Glorified bodies.
Be like him.
I think everybody in here needs that. Yep. We all need it. Glorified bodies. Not too happy with the one I got right now. Doesn't cooperate with me. But I'm going to have a glorified body. Honey?
That will be permanently judged.
Ooh. That's a little bit rough, honey. But you know what we're going to do? The book of Revelation says we're going to say, Alleluia. Alleluia. That's the right thing to be done. Alleluia. Looking forward to that day. Oh, his day's coming. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. What else? Anything else? Kathy?
In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
I've overcome the world, he says. We have tribulations now, but he's going to overcome it. What a blessed promise. Especially when you're in the midst of some of those tribulations, which we're all going to go through. The Lord's going to overcome it all. Chris?
We will see our loved ones and all the Bible heroes that we know.
Okay. Yep. you get a verse of scripture for that, I want to know which one that is.
What a gathering of children.
That's a song. Now you're doing hymnal. You kind of have to gather a bunch of scriptures together to get all that in there. But that's a promise. Looking forward to seeing all the loved ones who have gone on before us. We sing about it in several of the songs. That subject comes up. Ralph?
To go along with what she just said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yep.
And there's a song that says that very thing. I don't know how many of you know that one, but it's heard the song.
Mm-hmm. And that's a promise that you have out of God's Word. What if you didn't have that in God's Word? You didn't have that verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yeah. We'd be missing a little something that the Lord wanted us to have. All right, anything else before we close up here? Sam and then Jason.
How about we get to see Jesus, our Savior?
I want to see my Savior first of all, right? Amen. That's what Fanny Crosby said, right? Jason?
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled.
Amen. We're going to take the Bible with us. Right. It's going to be there in heaven. Forever. I don't know why we need that, but if there's ever any a time when you might wonder, of course, I don't think we'll doubt in heaven or anything like that. We'll have the Word of God still right there saying everything that God did for us. This is an eternal book. It's not going away. When men are long gone and governments have fallen and kingdoms have fallen, this will still be there. The Word of God. The written Word of God. Along with the living Word of God as well. Jesus Christ. Anything else?
Marriage Supper of the Lamb.
Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I think that was mentioned by Marge. So both of you like that, huh? Looking forward to it. Margo, what do you got?
Maybe a comforter.
A comforter. That's a promise that we've got. That's an answer to Jesus' prayer. To his Father. Anything else? Did we miss anybody's favorite song? No? Alright. Get it. Jason, play it. We'll stand and sing it. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll sing that song and then we'll go home. No, we won't go home. We'll go to our tents. All right? We'll go to our tents, our temporary dwelling places. And who knows if tonight the Lord will take us home to be in our mansion. That'll be fine with us. Let's pray and then we'll sing this song to close. Our Father, thank you for the example of faith that Abraham gives us and his wife Sarah. Beautiful, beautiful examples. Help us not to stagger at the promises you've made. Keep us safe as we go our way tonight. Thank you for the good time of singing and blessing here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ralph?
Number 2.